But now there was a chap who knew his fill-in nouns. Above Ponder, he felt, were a lot of dead men's shoes, and they had living men's feet in them, and were stamping down hard. They never bothered to learn anything. They never bothered to remember anything apart from how much better things used to be. They bickered like a lot of children, and the only one who ever said anything sensible said it in orangutan. He prodded the fire viciously. The wizards had made Mrs. Whitlow a polite rude hut out of branches and big woven leaves. She bade them good night and demurely pulled some leaves across the entrance behind her.
"A very respectable lady, Mrs. Whitlow," said Ridcully. "Oh, I think I'll turn in myself too."
There were already one or two sets of snores building up around the fire.
"I think someone ought to stand guard," said Ponder.
"Good man," muttered Ridcully, turning over. Ponder gritted his teeth and turned to the librarian, who was temporarily back in the land of the bipedal and was sitting gloomily wrapped in a blanket.
"At least I expect this is a home from home for you, eh, sir?"
The librarian shook his head.
"Would you be interested in hearing what else is odd about this place?" said Ponder.
"Ook?"
"The driftwood. No one listens to me, but it's important. We must have dragged loads of stuff for the fire, and it's all natural timber. Do you notice that? No bits of plank, no old crates, no tatty old sandals, just ordinary wood."
"Ook?"
"That means we must be a long way off the normal shipping line." "Oh, no, don't."
The librarian wrinkled his nose desperately.
"Quickly, concentrate on having arms and legs. I mean living ones."
The librarian nodded miserably and sneezed.
"Ook,"
he said, when his shape had settled down again.
"Well," said Ponder sadly, "at least you're animate. Possibly rather large for a penguin, though. I think it's your body's survival strategy. It keeps trying to find a stable shape that works."
"Ook."
"Funny it can't seem to do anything about the red hair."
The librarian glared at him, shuffled a little way along the beach, and sagged into a heap. Ponder looked around the fire. He seemed to be the man on watch, if only because no one else intended to do it. Well, wasn't that a surprise? Things twittered in the trees. Phosphorescence glimmered on the sea. The stars were coming out. He looked up at the stars. At least you could depend... And suddenly, he saw what else was wrong.
Arch-Chancellor!
"So, how long have you been mad?" No, not a good start, really. It was quite hard to know how to open the conversation.
"So, I didn't expect dwarfs here," Rincewind said.
"Oh, the family blew in from Nothingfjord when I was a kid," said Mad. "Meant to go down the coast a bit. Storm got up. Next thing we shipwrecked and up to our knees in parrots. Best thing that could have happened. Back there I'd be down some freezing cold mine, picking bits of rock out of the walls. But over here, a dwarf can stand tall."
"Really?" said Rincewind, his face carefully blank.
"But not too bloody tall,"
Mad went on.
Certainly not.
"So, we settled down, and now my dad's got a chain of bakeries in Buggerup."
"Dwarf bread," said Rincewind.
"Too right. That's what kept us going across thousands of miles of shark-infested ocean,"
said Mad.
"If we hadn't had that sack of dwarf bread, we'd..."
"Never have been able to club the sharks to death," said Rincewind.
"You're a man who knows your breads."
"Big place, Buggerup? Has it got a harbour?"
"People say so. Never been back there. I like the outdoor life."
The ground trembled. The trees by the track shook, even though there was no wind.
"Sounds like a storm," said Rincewind.
"What's one of them?"
"You know," said Rincewind, "rain."
"Oh, strain the flaming cows. You don't believe all that stuff, do you? My granddad used to go on about that when he'd been at the beer. It's just an old story. Water falling out of the sky. Do me a favour."
"Well, it never does that here."
"Course not."
"Happens quite a lot where I come from," said Rincewind.
"Yeah? How's it get up into the sky then? Water's heavy."
"Oh, I think the sun sucks it up or something."
"How?"
"I don't know. It just happens. And then it
drops out of the sky?"
Yes.
For free?
Haven't you ever seen rain?
Look, everyone knows all the water's deep underground. That's only sense. It's heavy stuff. It leaks down. I've never seen it floating around in the air, mate.